Good morning. Welcome to the January 5th, 2014 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. In attempting to think through the key qualities of governance and freedom, which I am on a page that I've put up called Founding and Realizing a Test Site. So that's in development as I continue to try to visualize for myself, to share, to put out there, to get other feedback. I elaborate it or I develop it. So I'm hoping that it will be something that we can work on together this year. So brothers and sisters, in attempting to think through the key qualities of governance and freedom that would distinguish it from the existing forms under class, I kept running up against the fact that there are key conversations that we need to be having, which is why I stress so much the propagandistic role the punditry plays, necessarily because they depend on the wage. Propagandistic role because they collaborate with power's determination to exclude these conversations from the public discourse. Some with intent, some unconscious. It's a strategy of containment that works because of our atomization. We have no reality check for our own thought process, except the official voices that power permits or sanctions. Until, that is, we struggle against this pressure of sanctioned thought and create the alternative for ourselves. The challenge is to develop this alternative way of looking at the conventions of class in the absence of a clear picture of an alternative to class future. As the clamps on our thought is total. So how to find a way in to an authentic thought process? One which would then allow us to see the approved discourse as propaganda. And how to begin to develop the alternative vision of freedom when we have not thoroughly examined and rejected the thought power sanctions. Without the certainty that tested discussion brings, it's very difficult to see clearly the degree to which we're being squeezed, to see the degree to which we aren't free. So being able to see the propaganda depends on our having a picture of freedom. And a picture of freedom is deepened by seeing our unfreedom, by our recognizing how pervasive the chains, how tight the thought vise power applies. And all the more so as the propaganda shows such craft. And here's some examples I heard this week, all of which illustrate Bentham's emphasis on controlling the lexicon, the definitions. Happiness was linked with well-being as an individual mental state, completely disconnected from our common political dilemma of containment, the state's requirement that we be subjects. And they don't deny this, which is, again, should show us the degree to which we live in a totalitarian system, because if we did not, we would have been having this conversation. Every generation would be asking, why are we subjects? Because it's an obvious question. And yet it never comes to us. It never arises. This should tell us the degree to which power has a lock on our thought. So the state's requirement that we be subjects is in direct opposition to the reality that we are, each one of us, powerful humans. And this is why we're going to be taking some time down the road with Alexis de Tocqueville's Democracy in America, because within his frame of reference, within his mindset, he explains this. He answers this question. So he furthers our conversation on this issue of democracy. So then we can then at least clear away the debris of outright confusion and blatant cons and get to the actual questions. That's why I'm emphasizing looking at that book, Democracy in America, because it will allow us to begin to discuss it in authentic terms, because he speaks clearly the reality that we are subjects and thinks that's a good thing. So then it would allow us to begin asking ourselves, is that what we want? Does that work for humanity itself overall, all of us globally? Does it work for the earth? Has it? I mean, we've got a little bit of time, you know, 100 and almost 200 years to evaluate his analysis. It's time. It's long overdue, in fact. So the requirement that the state imposes that we be subject is in direct contradiction to what we are inherently, what the earth gives us to be, which is big. And we also have that. We know that the whole notion of savage is a con. So we can look at our brothers and sisters who are earth connected and say, have they trashed the planet? Do they allow themselves to use their full gifts if they are in a situation where the state hasn't completely eradicated the ability to do so? So once we start the conversations, the road to needing to be free is clear, but we need to begin. So in this little propaganda example, happiness was defined as a mental state you can talk yourself into. Quote, a little tweak to our story can change how happy we are, the pundit said, absolving the state of all responsibility for our inability to pursue happiness. Because pursuing happiness, I'm arguing, is an ongoing process of developing ourselves, creating ourselves. And yet in this system, we get stuck in a box and we cannot do that and tend to blame ourselves. And we'll be talking about that when we get to that page called Founding and Realizing a Test Site. The fact that once we are stuck in that box, we find ourselves with a price tag on our hands, because the box is a way to quantify, quote unquote, in theory, our so-called worth. And because there's no challenge to that, no serious challenge to that, outside of, religious ideology, which says, ignore the material world. Well, we see what ignoring the material world has brought us to. We see what ignoring the material world did to folks caught up in the machine of death called Auschwitz. We cannot leave the material world to those who want to reign supreme.